Again, it's a blessing to be here to see each and every one of you. Very thankful that you had a desire to come out and be with us. I pray that you would remember those who are traveling. We have a number of folks gone this week, and we have some that are sick, and the flu's been going around. If you've read any articles in the paper, it's very heavy in the state of Texas, and so there's a lot of folks sick and a lot of folks that have ailments, so we would encourage you to remember them in your prayers as we go forth the next week. As we conclude the year of 2013, I want to thank the Lubbock Church for the blessings, for the love and that they've shown unto me and my family, for the long-suffering with me as your pastor. You know, it's not an easy chore to try to pastor a church, and I certainly feel that I've fallen short in many areas. And, you know, the one thing I've learned according to the Word of God is there's always room for improvement. Regardless of what you're doing in life, we can always do better. You know, there's only one person in this world that ever lived and walked upon the earth that didn't need refining, and that was the Lord Jesus Christ. But for us, when I preached a few weeks ago about change, a word that is very alarming to Primitive Baptists, to young folks, to old folks, whether you're in the church or out of the church, change is something that goes on throughout our life. You know, we change the way we look, and we don't have anything to do with that, do we? We age, and we look different, and we can't stop it. We can't do anything about it. We try to put on all things, and we go to the gym and exercise, and we do all kinds of things to make ourselves look better, but change is happening in our physical bodies day after day. But I think about going into this year, it's been a great blessing to serve the church. I'm thankful for the gifts of love that you've given unto Sister Suzanne and myself, and as I said, you're long-suffering. I have great hopes for the church at Lubbock in the coming year. I really do. I know that I'm not able, but I know that the Lord is able. And I know that if we have problems in this church or any other church, that the answers to those problems can be found in the Word of God. Now, I don't know how long I'm going to be able to stand up here. I've been choked up the last 2 days, and my nose has been stopped up, and I've been taking airborne and everything I can to try to stop it, but bear with me if you would. I'm doing better this morning than I thought I might have when I went to bed last night, but sometimes the longer I talk, the harder it is to talk. When I feel like this. But anyway, pray for me if you would, that the Lord would bless us this time. When we talk about hope, that's a subject that's on my mind this morning. You know, hope is part of every one of our lives, whether you know it or not. Every day. It's not just in the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, we get up and oftentimes we hope that the traffic won't be bad when we head to work. We hope that if we're taking a flight to another town that the weather won't delay the flight or cancel the flight. We hope that when it's time to pay our bills each month that we have enough money in the bank to pay those bills. We wake up with hope and we go to sleep with hope. It is a part of our being that we certainly need to consider. Whether you think about it or not, your life is bound by hope. But oftentimes, the child of God fails to hang his hope in the right place, if you would. And we'll try to look at that a little further this morning as we go along. As I said, I have great hopes for the church of the Lord Jesus Christ, the church at Lubbock here. I believe that we're going to see the Lord work in this church. You know, the Bible tells us that we're to pray believing. You know, if we pray and we don't believe in what we're praying for, you can be sure the Lord is not going to answer your prayer. That's a certainty. That means you're praying and you have very little faith in that coming to pass. We're told over in Proverbs chapter 29 and verse 18, where there is no vision, the people perish. I want to think about that for just a moment before we get back to this. I believe it has something to do with hope. Where there is no vision, what is vision? Vision, I believe, speaks to us of faith. Where one's faith becomes very, very weak, he oftentimes falls into a state of hopelessness. He really does. He gives up. He believes that things can't get better in his individual life. Things can't get better in the church. Whatever your situation or your circumstances are, you come to a point of falling into a state of apathy, if you would, because you don't think things can get better. You don't know what to do. But where you have no vision, the Bible tells us the people perish. You know, we're told by the Apostle Paul, and I believe Paul wrote the book of Hebrews in the 11th chapter in the first verse. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Think about that in contrast to the verse I just quoted out of Proverbs. Where there is no vision, no foresight, no dream, I believe people get into a state of hopelessness. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. You know, there's not a one of us has come face to face visually with the Lord Jesus Christ, not one of us. And yet, our faith is bound in Him, our hope is bound in Him, and everything that we do in this life is bound to the Lord Jesus Christ. We believe and we hope in Him. We hope, we believe. But where there is no vision, I believe people enter into a state of hopelessness. Now let's think about hope in contrast to wishing. There's a great difference. The one thing that you find in both these words is the word, in the definition, is the word desire. When you wish, you desire to have something. When you hope, you desire to have something. But there's a great difference in the word wish and the word hope. First of all, how many people have you ever heard say, "I wish I could win the lottery"? Nearly every person I've ever heard say that never expected to ever win it. I wish I could win the lottery. But they never expected to obtain the winning number or see fulfillment of that wish. That's the great difference in wishing for something and hoping for something. The hope that's taught to us in the Bible, the hope that we have in the Lord Jesus Christ, is not a wish. It's an earnest expectation. It's a confidence beyond any confidence that you'd ever have in this life that what God promised, He's able to fulfill. When He said that one day you're going to dwell with Him in glory, and all these things are going to pass away that we've known on this earth, you can be assured that that's what's going to take place. We're not wishing that the Lord had come back. We have a strong hope and an earnest expectation that the Lord Jesus Christ will return as He told us He would. That He will perform every promise that He promised us, and not a one will fail. Because if the Lord fails in any promise that He promised you and I, then He would cease to be God. Think about that. He would cease to be God. You and I are the ones that fail to keep promises, not God. He is faithful unto the end. But it's in Him that we hope. My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. Is that where your hope is? The problem is we begin to think about life and all the things that we hope for. Now, I want you to understand, hoping to have a good wife or a good husband, hoping to have a good family, a good church to attend, these things that we hope for on a day-to-day basis, there's not anything wrong with hoping for those things. But when we hang all our hope on something or someone, I'll tell you right now, you're going to end up very disappointed. You are. You're going to hang your hope on something that is eventually, and if not very soon, going to die. Because it's temporal. Now, a few months ago, I tried to preach out of the book of Ecclesiastes, and I made a statement, and I think it applies here very well too. Solomon said, "What profit hath a man of all his labor which he taketh under the sun?" What Solomon was doing here, he said, "I'm going to go out into this world with a horizontal view of God." In other words, if you have a horizontal view, then you're going to try to live your life void of God. God's not going to be a part of your life. And Solomon said, "I'm going to go out and I'm going to do everything there is to do in this life, in this world." And he did. You read the book of Ecclesiastes and you'll find out if it could be done, Solomon did it. And he wanted to know if there was any profit or benefit to the child of God to live his life apart from God. Absolutely not. He said it's vanity and vexation of the spirit. Now, he didn't say that those things that were he done, any of they were all bad in and of themselves. But the lesson he teaches in Ecclesiastes is that we should always have a constant view of the Lord Jesus Christ. A vertical view should always be the backdrop of all that we do in life. But sometimes we get caught up in life Things don't go the way that we wish they would go. And we hang our hopes on a lot of things that are surely going to disappoint us. I was reading a book, and I won't mention the author of the book. But most of you may not know him. But in one of the chapters of this book, it was called Hope Can't Live Without Forever. I want you to think about that phrase. I'll amen that day in and day out. Hope can't live without eternity. Because when we place our hope in things or people upon this earth, things that are temporal, they're going to disappoint you. And all these things, sooner or later, are going to die because they're temporal. But we're told in Colossians chapter 1 and verse 27, Christ in you, the hope of glory. We have something in us, if we're a child of God, that's far more than temporal. It's eternal. It's forever. Hope can't live without forever. And when you hang all your hope on an individual or a job or a situation or a family, you go on and on, or even the church, and you're not hanging your hope upon the Lord Jesus Christ, you're placing it in the wrong place. You're surely going to be disappointed, and that hope's going to die. We go out into the world time and time again, hoping to fulfill our lives. See, when it comes to hope, there's desire, and then there's an object. And I'm going to tell you a story that I read in this book that pretty well simplifies it. There was a young man, and his name was John in this book that I was reading. He had a good job. He had a good home. He had a pretty good life. He was single, and he loved a mountain bike. He loved to ride mountain bikes. That was part of the things that he'd done when he had time off. But there was something missing in his life, an emptiness in his life. He would oftentimes work late. He would oftentimes hang out late with his friends because he hated to go home to that empty home because of the loneliness there. And then one day, he met a girl. He met a young woman named Melinda in this story. And she changed his life. He began to feel alive. He had a purpose for living, a reason for making money, a reason for going out. Now, I'm not here to tell you that your life shouldn't change when you meet that perfect individual, because it will. But as we go through this story, you're going to find that this young man, his life became so lively. She was intelligent. She was very spiritual. And the great bonus was she loved to ride mountain bikes just like he did. So things were really going well for this young man, and his life had turned around, and he had great joy before him. Eventually, these two got married, and they began to go out, and they had he had all kinds of plans about their life together and their family that they would have and all the things that they would enjoy. They began to go out and ride these mountain bikes together, and not long after they was married, she began to linger back in their riding. She became very exhausted. The exhaustion continued to increase. He encouraged her to go to the doctor and have a complete physical done. And in this story, she finds that she has an autoimmune disease that's very long and progressive. Now, her life wasn't going to end anytime soon, but their life together and all the dreams that this young man had, all that he'd hung on this young lady, were not going to happen. Matter of fact, not only would she be able to have to give up those things because of her sickness, he would have to give up the things that he loved to take care of her. Now, I'm not arguing here that wasn't a good situation, but he had great desires, and the object of his hope was this young lady. And my point is, and I want you to understand, a great relationship, a good marriage, a good husband, a good wife, a good church, a good job, whatever it is that you've placed all your hope in, is a great thing. But I tell you, that can turn on a dime tomorrow, because we are temporal. We are human beings that cannot set forth what tomorrow is going to bring. You know, the Lord Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. We can count on Him to be there to deliver us, to help us, when we won't find deliverance or help anywhere else. We're told in Romans chapter 8 and verse 24, for we are saved by hope. Have you ever thought about that? We're not saved into heaven. You know that, but what are you saved from? You're delivered. Christ in you, the hope of glory. You know, this young man, John, married this young lady, Melinda, and the problem he had is he placed all his hope in her. And he was in error when he done that. She couldn't deliver to him what he really needed. Yes, she did fulfill his life, and there was a time there that he felt good. And I'm thankful for every young man and young lady that have that experience in their life. But I'm telling you right now, if you hang all your hope on an individual or on something in this world, you're setting yourself up to become very disappointed. You know, I know from my own life, from my own experience, that we're here today and we're gone tomorrow. And when we hang all our hope upon someone or something, the things of this world are going to die. They really are. They're temporal. They're here today and they're gone tomorrow. Let's notice what the Apostle Paul said in 2 Corinthians. I believe this brings it to an understanding. Paul said in Romans 8, for we are saved by hope. There's a deliverance there. He says hope there that we see is not hope. Because if we could see it, why would we yet hope for it? Well, we hope for that we do not see. And with patience do we wait for it in Romans chapter 8. But let's notice Paul's words in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 15. For all things are for your sakes, that the abundant grace might through the thanksgiving of many redound to the glory of God. He speaks here of God's abundant grace. God's abundant grace showered upon us, his children. For which cause we faint not, but though our outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. I want you to think about that. Every one of us is perishing day by day. Not a one of us can stop it. We may make ourselves look younger. We may look better on the outside than somebody our own age. But I tell you, on the inside, we're perishing just like everyone else. The body is growing old day by day. It's perishing, and there's no stopping it. I don't care how many vitamins you take. I don't care how many times you walk on the treadmill. I do that. I think we ought to. But I'm telling you, when Solomon talked to us over and back in the book of Ecclesiastes, he talked about the brevity of life, the shortness of life, and the certainty of death. There's one thing that you and I should prepare ourselves for is we're going to die. And it's going to happen before we can even think about it. We're here today and gone tomorrow. James said our life is but a vapor, like a smoke. I used to think about when I was farming up at Olton, we'd go burn them cornfields. And I mean, they'd make a boiling bunch of smoke up there. They'd rise 10,000 foot or more in the air. And then in an hour or two, it's gone. The Lord says our life is like that. And when you look back on how fast time has passed, it really is. Ain't it amazing what was going on 20 years ago, and it seemed like that was yesterday? That's how life is. We're here today, we're gone tomorrow. Notice what Paul says. For which cause we faint not, but though our outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. Christ in you, the hope of glory. How are you renewed? Because you put your hope in the Lord and not in people or things upon this earth. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment. That's the same thing James said, isn't it? For our light affliction. I don't care what problem you've had in this life, how much affliction, sickness, trouble, difficulties you've had, Paul says it's light compared to the glory that shall be revealed in you and I. He said, I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared to the glory which shall be revealed in us, in Romans chapter 8, and I believe it's verse 18. He says, for our light affliction is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. Hope without forever is doomed to die before too long, really. It's doomed to disappoint. If we don't tie our hopes to forever, to eternity, in hope of eternal life, which God, that cannot lie, promised before the world began, Titus 1 and 2. Where is your hope? Where are you hanging your hopes today? As we begin the year of 2014, are you hanging your hopes on a new relationship, a new job, a new car, a new house? What is it that you hung your hope on? Something that will last? Something that will deliver? You know, we have desires and we have dreams. But the only fulfillment of that hope that we can ever expect, the earnest expectation that we have, is in the Lord Jesus Christ. He is our hope. He is who we look to deliver us. That's why we're saved by hope. It's a deliverance that takes place. He goes on here and he says, while we look not at things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Paul's right in line in pure harmony here. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. We don't see the Lord Jesus Christ, do we? He's not visibly sitting here where our naked eyes can witness him this day. But I ask you, have you placed all your hope in some object on this earth? Have you placed all your hope in some individual? Because when you do that, you're certain to be disappointed, and it's surely going to be sooner than you think. Because we have no guarantee of how long we're going to be here. You know, temporal things are just what the Bible says they are. They're here today and they're gone tomorrow. They can't deliver us, they can't protect us, and they can't help us. But do you know that there's not one promise that was ever made in the Word of God that God did not keep? He's faithful unto the end. Every promise that God made, he keeps. He tells us in Galatians 6, for whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he reap. Do you believe that, really? Do you believe that you can go out and sow any old thing you want to and reap any old thing you want to? The Lord plainly and clearly tells that what we sow to is what we'll reap. This is a book of absolute truth. It's not a book of good advice or some things that you might consider if you've got nothing else to do. It's a book of absolute truth. All Scripture is given by the inspiration of God and is profitable. And you and I ought to be very tentative to read God's Word every day. If you want your life to change, you ought to read God's Word. If you don't like what the last 2 years or 5 years have been in your life, then that tells me you need to change. Because if you don't, I can tell you what the next 5 years are going to be like. They're going to be just like the past 5 years. That's very logical in itself. But we need to lay our hope upon the Lord Jesus Christ. Hang it on Christ and not upon things or people. You see, that young man had desires, things he wanted to do in life. But the object of his hope was his wife, and she got sick. He couldn't help that, could he? You and I can't help that either. And when we place all our hope in someone or something, you're surely going to be disappointed before long. May God bless us not to do that. But let's go back and look at how strong the hope that we're given in the Bible is. Colossians 1 and 27 says that Christ in you, the Spirit of God in you, is the hope of glory. We go back and begin reading in verse 18 of Romans chapter 8. He says, for I reckon that the suffering of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. For the earnest expectation, the intense anticipation of the creature waiteth for the manifestation of the sons of God. Here's hope. Even our bodies are hoping for the redemption from the bondage of sin and from the grave itself. For the creature was made subject to vanity, not willingly, but by reason of him who hath subjected the same in hope. Our hope is in Jesus Christ. And if we put it anywhere else, I'll assure you, you're going to be disappointed. It's not going to turn out the way that you expected. Because the creature itself shall be delivered from the bondage of corruption into the glorious liberty of the children of God. For we know that the whole creation groaneth and travaileth in pain together until now. You know, there's something inside you like was in Abraham. a longing. Abraham said that he was a nomad. You go back over to the 11th chapter of the book of Hebrews, you're going to find out that he moved from place to place. He set up his tent. He looked for a city whose maker and builder was God. That's how we are, aren't we? This old earth is not our home. We're here for such a short time. I told folks many times when I preach, don't drive your stakes too deep. Because when you do, you're putting too much hope in things that are temporal, things that are not going to last, things that are sure going to pass away in a short amount of time. But when you put your hope in Jesus' blood and His righteousness, in Him, you've got something that'll never fade. You're established and grounded in the truth. When the difficult times come in life, you'll be able to overcome. We're told over in the second book of Corinthians in chapter 12 and verse 9, when Paul was asking Jesus, pray, and he prayed three times, Lord, remove this thorn from my side. Do you know that every one of us have a thorn in our sides? And it's not your wife, I'm telling you, or your husband. You may think that's the thorn in your side, but we all have a thorn in our side. Paul prayed that God would remove that thorn. Three times he prayed. The Lord didn't remove it. The Lord never removed the thorn. But he did say, my grace is sufficient for thee. My strength is made perfect in weakness. He said, I won't take away your thorn, but I'll give you the grace you need to get through the difficulty that you face. When you put your hope in Jesus Christ, and it is the backdrop of all the temporal and daily hopes that you have in this life, when disappointment comes, your life will not fall apart. Your life will not be shattered. That's the difference. This young man that we spoke about a while ago, his life was shattered for a good while. He married a spiritual woman. They began to go to church, and he loved going to church. But all those things ended when she got sick, and he would no longer be able to realize all the things that he had hoped for. But he placed all his hope in her and not in the Lord. We don't know what's going to happen tomorrow, but we do have a hope in Jesus Christ that we know is going to deliver us into the glorious liberty of the children of God to be in His presence to live throughout all eternity one day, where we'll have no more sleepless nights. We'll have no more tears. We won't have the troubles that we face day in and day out. And there'll be no more death. What an amazing thing that'll be. What a glorious hour that'll be. There'll be no more death. Can you imagine? How many funerals have you been to and how many tears have you shed in your life over the death of someone you love? There'll be no more death. What a day that'll be when we go to be with the Lord. But if we don't place our hope, if we don't hang our hope upon Jesus Christ here and now, then I'll assure you, you're going to be filled with disappointment because temporal things pass away, and they pass away suddenly. For we are saved by hope. That hope delivers us out of the most frustrating times of our life, out of the trials of our life. Why did Jesus say that in Him we find peace? These things have I spoken unto you, that in me you might have peace. In the world you shall have tribulation. Our life is about Jesus Christ. You know, if we're not careful, we begin to worship the church. We begin to worship our husband or our wife. We don't think we're doing that. But when we bound our hope in them and they become the most important thing to us in life, that's what we're doing, whether we recognize it or not. Our life is all about Jesus Christ. Christ in you, the hope of glory. Let's notice as I'm going to look for a closing place before I run totally out of breath. Excuse me. Over in Hebrews chapter 6, I want to read a few verses here that really bring this to light. Verse 17 says, wherein God willing more abundantly to show unto you the heirs of promise, His children, the immutability of His counsel, the unchanging. God is unchangeable. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. God never changes. That's why we can count on Him. That's why we can depend upon Him. And that's why when we have hope in the Lord Jesus Christ, we can certainly know that our desires in Him are going to be fulfilled. We're going to obtain that. He goes on and says, confirmed it by an oath, that by two immutable things in which it was impossible for God to lie, we might have strong consolation, who have fled for refuge to lay hold upon the hope set before us. Who is the hope that is set before you? Who is that? It's Christ. It's all about Jesus Christ. Life should be all about the Lord Jesus Christ. Tomorrow, all 6 days of the week, not just when you sit here in the house of the Lord on Sunday, every day should be about Jesus Christ. Notice it says, which hope we have as the anchor of our soul. Brings to light what Paul said in Colossians, doesn't it? Christ in you, the hope of glory. He is the anchor of your soul. And when you hang your hope upon Him, you will not be disappointed. You will see the fulfillment of every promise He made. And one day you'll be delivered into heaven to live with Him forever. Yeah, you'll have some trials on this in this earth. You'll have some disappointments. For those of you who are much younger than me, and there's a number of you here, I can tell you there are things that's going to happen that you never expected in your life. I promise you. You didn't look down the road and see those things. But faith is the substance of things hoped for. Faith and hope go hand in hand, the evidence of things not seen. It will be the Lord, when you hang your hope upon Him, that will deliver you through the most difficult times of your life. And it is the Lord who will be with you when you're rejoicing in the greatest days of your life. I encourage you to hang your hope on the Lord in all that you do in the year of 2014. I made a statement. I believe we have great hopes for the church. I believe the Lord's going to work mightily in the Lubbock church in the coming year. If I didn't believe that, I wouldn't say it. I believe it. We've got to pray believing. We've got to go into the house of the Lord believing. Because if not, we're like that person spoken of in Proverbs. Where there is no vision, the people perish. Where their faith has become so weak, they've fallen into a state of hopelessness. But friends, when it comes to the Lord Jesus Christ, we should never lose hope. We should never lose hope. Our hope should always be in Him. Which hope we have is the anchor of our soul, both sure and steadfast, and which entereth into that within the veil. Whether the forerunner is far entered, for us entered, even Jesus. He is the anchor of our soul. Did you know that? He's what gives you your steadfastness in this life. He is you who picks you up when you're down. Jesus is the one that helps you get along when the going's rough. When someone you love passes away, you'll shed a tear, but Jesus and His grace, which He said was sufficient, will help you pick up one foot and put in front of the other and go on with life. But I tell you, when we've been along in life and we placed all our hope in something else, you set yourself up for great disappointment. I don't care if it's your career, your education, your work, whatever it is that you've hanging all your hope upon, I declare unto you today that that hope one day will die. It's temporal. It will not satisfy you from here on out, but the Lord Jesus Christ will. He is our satisfaction and our hope. And I close by reading a couple of verses from Romans. Or one verse from Romans chapter 15 and verse 13. Now the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing. In the year of 2014, it is my prayer that God will fill you with all the hope and the joy in believing that His promises will come to pass in your life, that you may abound in hope through the power of the Holy Ghost. Let's not be a people who have lost our vision. Whether it be in your family, your marriage, the church of the Lord Jesus Christ, or even in a country where we don't have a lot of hope. You know, a lot of people have lost hope in our government and in the people, but there's one thing that we haven't lost hope in, and that's the Lord Jesus Christ. He's constant. He's consistent. And He'll be a blessing unto you every day that you live. I encourage you to hang all your hope upon Him, and He will help you through the most difficult times of your life, and He will be there when you're rejoicing in the most happy times of your life. May God bless you is my prayer this morning.